Well, thanks, Nina. I was tempted to join up the piano and play along with you, but let's not get carried away. Turning to God's Word, we'll be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Am I on, or did I accidentally shut the mic off? You're good? Okay. It's just different. I guess when I was doing the children's story, I was hearing myself. Okay, just checking. Our scripture reading this morning comes from a well-known teaching of Jesus known as the Beatitudes. In my opinion, these nine blessings are the New Testament equivalent to the Ten Commandments. Briefly comparing these two foundational teachings, the Ten Commandments are given at the inauguration of the nation of Israel, just as they had come up out of Egypt and were standing in the manifest presence of God at Mount Sinai. Furthermore, these Ten Commandments neatly summarize the entire law of Moses, and they were to be the basis upon which the kingdom of Israel was to be built. In the case of the Beatitudes, they were given when Jesus publicly inaugurated the kingdom of heaven on a mountainside with the kingdom's new citizens gathered around. Furthermore, these blessings neatly summarize the lengthier Sermon on the Mount that Jesus was about to deliver. And through them, we are given the pathway that God would use to lead his people into the kingdom that he was about to build. Finally, as we might expect for such an important occasion like this, God ensured that this game-changing message was delivered to the people directly in his manifest presence, just like in the Old Testament, as the Beatitudes were delivered in the person of Jesus Christ, whom Scripture tells us is fully God and fully man. These are the similarities between the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes, and they are important to observe. Equally important to observe are the differences. For starters, notice that in the Old Testament law, the focus is clearly on external behavior. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not build idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. You shall honor the Sabbath. You shall honor your father and mother. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not lie. You shall not covet. You shall not do this, you shall do that. Notice the law is all about what you should and shouldn't do. Compare this with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Do you see the difference? In these blessings, the focus is not on what we do, but on who we are. In the kingdom of God, the emphasis is not on our actions, but on our state of being. In the kingdom of God, the promise of blessing belongs to those whose heart is in the right place. In the kingdom of God, the starting place for building a new social order, it's not an innovation in government. It does not lie in the development of a new economic model. It's not created by a new legal system. It's not formed from the outside in. It evolves from the inside out. The kingdom of God is established by a transformation of the heart. As God spoke to the prophet Ezekiel, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." This is the message of the kingdom of God. It's about God giving us a new heart. It's about God changing us from the inside out. It's about God blessing us in ways that seem counterintuitive. It's about God recreating us in His image. It's about God conforming us to the image of Christ. This is what God is up to. And the start of our transformation and the starting point of the kingdom of heaven is nicely summed up in the first beatitude: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, what does this mean? As I reflected on this question, two passages of Scripture came quickly to mind: Philippians chapter 2 and Luke chapter 18. Starting with the passage in Philippians 2, allow me to read a portion of that Scripture interspersed with the words of the first beatitude. It reads, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those whose attitude is the same as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now allow me to read a slightly altered and amplified version of that same passage of Scripture. It reads, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those whose attitude is like Christ, who don't think too highly of themselves, who are not filled with pride because of their power, wealth, or beauty, or status in life. Blessed are those who are able to see beyond themselves, who are willing to sacrifice everything they have in service of God the Father, who are willing to give the shirt off their backs to help their neighbors and not seek recognition for their good deeds. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And God will raise them up from the dead at the final trumpet sound and exalt them to the highest of places. Their dwelling will be with Christ, and they shall reign with Christ in his kingdom forever. They shall be clothed in his righteousness. They shall be new creations. The old will have passed away. No longer will they take pleasure in sin. No longer will they laugh at things that are not funny. No longer will they entertain themselves with violence and sensuality. No longer will they strive to do things their own way. No longer will they be driven by greed. No longer will they be alienated from God. No longer will they live under the curse of sickness, suffering, and death. No longer will they strive with each other, but they will live in peace. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Turning to the passage from Luke 18, allow me to go through the same process. Starting in verse 9, it says, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told a parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, and even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are those who recognize their selfish ways and are troubled by their sin. Blessed are those who approach life with humility and a sincere appreciation for what they have been given. Blessed are those who realize that they rely on God alone to meet their every need. Blessed are those who know that the only wealth we can have is a right relationship with God. Blessed are those who do not look down upon others and say, 'God, I thank you, I'm not like this sinner.' Blessed are those who rather call out to God with a sincere heart and say, 'Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.' For the door to the kingdom is low, and no one who stands tall will ever go through it. Nor can we be filled with the blessing of the kingdom if we do not come to the throne of grace as empty vessels. In the kingdom of God, we cannot be made worthy until we recognize our unworthiness. We cannot live until we admit that we are dead. In the kingdom of God, we cannot enter unless God has mercy on us. This is the gateway to the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Skipping ahead to the last beatitude in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Of all the blessings given in the Beatitudes, this last blessing reminds us that citizenship in the kingdom of heaven has a steep price. As Jesus tells his disciples, "Take up your cross and follow me." In the book of Acts, after Paul is stoned and left for dead, he gets up and goes to several cities and tells the Christians there that it is through much tribulation that we will enter into the kingdom of God. In the epistle of James, he says to the church, "Consider it joy when you face trials of many kind, because they make us mature and complete in the faith." In other words, what the Bible teaches us is the only way we get to the house of the Lord is by walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, how does this happen? If we go through all the Beatitudes and think about their implications for our lives, we will notice that suffering is an important part of each blessing. Starting out with the first blessing, it's usually through adversity that we become poor in spirit. After all, not many people learn to be humble through health, wealth, and happiness. Rather, it is through times of great trial, times when we hit rock bottom, times of suffering. It's in those times we discover joy and freedom and the power of being humble. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And blessed are those who are persecuted, who suffer for the sake of righteousness, so that they may become poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are burdened by their sin, who are disturbed by the evil that exists in the world around them, and who feel compassion for those who are suffering. Biblically, this is what it means to mourn, and mourning results in suffering. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who turn the other cheek, who walk the extra mile and do good to those who persecute them. Blessed are those who have learned to be content in all circumstances. This is what it means to be meek. And the only way we become meek is by going through many trying situations where we are figuratively hit on the cheek or forced to do something we don't want to do or suffer wrong at the hand of another or where we have been in need, like the Apostle Paul, who wrote about being content while he was in jail. To become meek means we must suffer. To become meek means we must experience persecution. And the same is true for the next beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Even without any spiritual explanation, the terms hunger and thirst imply some kind of discomfort caused by a great need that has not been filled. Add to this the scriptural illustrations of the people of Israel in the wilderness when the Jewish nation came into being, or Christ being tempted by the devil in the wilderness just before he began his preaching ministry, and we will see the prominent role of suffering once again. As the Bible teaches us, in order to have, we must go without. And in order to be filled, we must be emptied. In order to be blessed, we must endure hardship. Blessed are the merciful. Again, in order to be merciful, suffering is required. For if our brother sins against us, we suffer. And if we forgive him 77 times, as Jesus commanded, we will experience pain. If we do good like the Good Samaritan and get our hands dirty, treating the wounds of a man nearly beaten to death, and if we pay for his expenses out of our own pocket, and if we keep checking up on him, we will be set back. If we live according to the Old Testament law, and if we forgave all debts after 7 years, we would experience financial loss. If we are merciful, it will come with a price. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who endure the hardships of having their hearts refined like gold and like silver in the fire. Blessed are those who through discipline are taught to leave their fishing boats like James and John, or their money tables like Matthew, or their life as a Pharisee, or even their lives behind. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who labor to build bridges where relationships are broken. Blessed are those who make every effort to love those who are hard to love. Blessed are those who give of themselves in order to foster goodwill. Blessed are those who suffer so that peace may prevail. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who went before you. One last time, the unifying theme of these verses is suffering on account of the gospel of Christ. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is the pathway that God is leading us through as we enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is the price that God requires us to pay. As Jesus said, the servant is not greater than the master. And if Jesus suffered, and if the apostles suffered, then it only stands to reason that if we are to follow Christ, we will suffer as well. We must pay that price, and make no mistake about it, it's a very high cost. Furthermore, it's a price that few are willing to pay. For who in their right mind would choose to go down such a path? Who would want to take an hour out of their week every week to publicly give thanks to God for all that he has done for us? A few do, but most don't. Who would want to apply themselves to learn about God and how to live according to his ways? Sounds like a lot of work, doesn't it? Who would want to give up the pleasures of life or risk the ridicule of others in order to do what is right in God's sight? Who would want to be among the super committed and leave their good-paying jobs and comfortable lifestyles to be more actively pursue ministry within the kingdom of heaven? Who would want to be like Jesus and be crucified so others can live? Who would want to embrace the life of suffering that comes part and parcel with belonging to the kingdom of heaven? Who would want to pay this price? While most would not be interested in such a calling, the good news we believe is that Christ was willing to pay this price for all of us. Christ was willing to come to earth as a human and die on a cross for our sins and rise from the grave. Christ was willing to suffer on earth so that we might be healed by his wounds. Christ was willing to suffer so that our hearts might be changed and our minds renewed. Christ was willing to suffer so that he could lead us like a good shepherd down the path we cannot go on our own and down the path we would not go if he did not lead us. Christ was willing to suffer so that we might inherit the kingdom of heaven. Christ was willing to suffer for us so that we may discover that in weakness we are strong. Christ was willing to suffer for us so that we might learn that it is through foolishness that we become smart. It is by being last that we become first. It is through poverty that we become rich. It is through death that we find life. And through his willingness to lay down everything on our behalf, and through the promise that he has given us, that he will complete the good work that he has begun in us, we have the hope that we too will face the trials of life and come out on the other side as victors. For just as God strengthened the prophets in the days of old to fulfill their calling, with all the hardship that it entailed, God will carry us through whatever trials we may face in life. And just as God strengthened the 12 disciples, taking them from a fearful group of followers who abandoned Christ on the night of his crucifixion and turned them into bold leaders who courageously gave their lives for the gospel, we have the hope that God will transform us into men and women of faith who boldly live out our lives according to our calling, even in the face of adversity. Just as God has worked in the lives of all those who have called upon his name throughout history, making them to will and to do according to his good pleasure, we have the hope that God will do the same in us. And through his redeeming work in our lives, we have the hope that we will understand, embrace, and bear witness to the truths of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. This is the way of the kingdom of heaven. This is the way that God is working in this world and in our lives, fulfilling his promise to give us a new heart and to put a new spirit in us. This is the counterintuitive way that God is changing us and changing the world from the inside out, for our salvation and for his glory. Amen.